This is part two of a Bible teaching by David Ebal titled, Think Tall.
And the kingdom of God is what we seek first. Then, Jesus said, you're going to get all these other things. But you see, we cannot seek these things. Not what we eat, that's not our object. Not what we drink or what we wear, that's not the object. The object is what? The kingdom of God and is what?
Righteousness.
Well, now the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is not meat or drink. Romans 14:17. What is it? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, your RPJ, your peace and your joy. Well, how can you be righteous? Well, so I work to be righteous in that old realm. I'm watching you to find out how many of you have been in that realm. So we work to be righteous. We did this and stopped doing that. And I quit going here. Oh, boy, I do remember those years. Oh, we're still doing it.
No, I said we're trying to make everybody else know it.
Well, you know, after you're miserable, you just love making everybody else that way. So we got, and I remember in the old days, I wouldn't tell everybody to go to the show nowadays, but we've noticed there are a couple of shows that were very beneficial to go to. But back in the old days, I'd have never done it, Reva. You know, I've come a long ways to go to the show now. Because we made a vow when we joined the church, we would never go to the show, never go to the movie house. And I remember the first time a missionary came to our church and wanted to set up a screen down front. Wow. Don't you know there were lots of fussing? How many can remember those days and some of those things? Yeah. Because we were all uptight whether or not God would come. We thought maybe God would strike the steeple with lightning or something. We'd all burn to a cinder crisp or something. You know, when he turned on that magic lantern to show his slides of what he was trying to demonstrate had happened on the mission field. So those days are gone. We can see now that God is using lots of things. So we had all those ideas about right and wrong, traditions and commandments, and they're all going to perish with the using. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Shall all be added unto you. Praise God for that. Praise the Lord for that. We've come a long ways from where the way things used to be. Now, if it says all things shall be added unto you, does that sound godly? All things shall be taken away from you. For the kingdom of Arenos is the kingdom of thinking tall. And the kingdom of thinking tall is the kingdom of addition. And the kingdom of addition is the kingdom of expansion. And the kingdom of expansion is the kingdom of getting bigger. It's a comfort every once in a while when I look at the bathroom scales. Well, I suppose there are some realms where where if we could just maintain, it would be helpful. Not getting too much. Now, Matthew 13, I want to talk about these parables in Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, we'll talk about the sower who sowed on four kinds of ground. We'll talk about he planted wheat. When he planted wheat, also, there was a bad seed that came in. He planted mustard, and it turned into a giant tree, and some bad things came in. See, birds are bad symbols. The leaven, it filled the whole thing. The treasure and the pearl, and finally the fish net. But the key to these in Matthew 13, the key is in verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Now where it says word of the kingdom, this is the kingdom of heaven, verse 11. Verse 11, jumping back. It's given to you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, that's kingdom of heaven, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. I'm emphasizing the word understanding or not understanding. Now the seed is sown in the spirit of the soul. You're right. Spiritual seed, and it goes into the heart. But where is understanding? Soul. So this is the reason that he gave teachers to the body of Christ. And as we understand, then it brings forth fruit. And if we don't understand, nothing. Now turn with me to verse 23 to get the same idea. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the Logos and understandeth it. Shall also bear fruit, bringing forth some hundredfold, 60, and 30-fold. Now the fruit bearers are fruit bearers because they what? Understood the word. Those that were worthless and fruitless were fruitless because they what? Did not understand. So Jesus up here talks about eyes that see not and ears that hear not. But to you it's given to understand the parables. Are you following? The importance is understanding. Let's read it again, starting in verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns. Thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground, brought forth some 100 and some 60-fold and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, that's a funny thing to say, Jesus. We all got ears. What's he talking about? Spiritual ears. And some people just can't grasp it, and some can. The disciples came to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he said, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Now that's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is expansion. It's bigger, it's think tall. And if you got, them that's got gets. Is that okay? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. But what do I pray for you every time I pray? Have you heard it? Are you tired of it? We've got to see. We've got to hear. We can't be like these guys. We're right here at the end. Things are changing and turning, and we've got to see and understand what God was talking about. So we pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to anoint it and give us eyes that will see and ears that hear. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and not perceive. But I sure don't want that said about me. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. Well, you don't hear much teaching on that scripture, do you? For you see, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But then their sound went out through all the earth among the Gentiles. And it doesn't say to save all the Gentiles, it says to seek out a people for His name. Don't you think about that for just a minute. I'm watching you while you're watching me. Now eventually, it's very clear, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall eventually all be made alive. But there is a time when shall the thing created say to the Creator, why hast thou created me thus? For in a great man's house there are many vessels, some created unto honor and some to dishonor. Is that all right? But you know something? Somehow, something just sings in my heart, and it says, we've been created unto honor. We have been set apart, we've been sanctified, we've been cleansed in a great man's house. These vessels here, have been created unto honor. And as I look over the vessels, some of them are very honorable and some of them are needing some paint. Or whatever else, you know, whatever else, you know, to shape up the different things to fix these vessels. But you know something? God is good and He's doing it, isn't it? Huh? He's getting these vessels all shaped up. And I believe that. I have to believe that. I've got to believe that the vessels that God sends to our Bible studies are the vessels that are created unto honor. I'm talking about the vessels that are turning into kings and priests, joined heirs with Christ. Those are going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, but that still makes us vessels in a great man's house. In other words, we have a purpose. And He designed us with a purpose in mind. Is that all right? Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them. Were they good guys or bad guys? Good guys. And to hear those things which ye hear, and I have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. I am absolutely convinced it's the grace of God that brought us to this generation. I don't think any... Now, I might be wrong. Time will tell. I don't think any of us chose this generation. I think it was the grace of God, and He's got some people that He's set in for the end-time generation, or that generation that makes the change from the old to the new. But you know something? That's the generation that has it the hardest. The generation that was there when they were in law and then moved over into grace, that was the hardest. You see what I'm driving at? And so not only is it the hardest, but it's also the best rewards. Because it's just a basic fact. When you plant more seeds, you're going to get more production. And so I think that I'm talking to some people who are actually chosen, foreordained, predestined from before the foundations of the world to be in this generation. Yes, we were predestined, and I believe that I'm talking to some people who are here in this generation. Wonderful, wonderful generation. When you think of what we've already accomplished in this generation, it just defies imagination I cannot imagine what I've ever seen. Did I tell you that I was just down at the National Bureau of Standards? Well, I was down there Friday morning. That's why I didn't tell you. When I was down at the National Bureau of Standards, I saw two new things that they're working on that just defies anything that I ever thought of or saw before in all my engineering experience. What they're doing right now is taking coal, and they're burning the coal, and they take the flame, and they shoot the flame out of flue. But when it goes out the flue, they put electrodes in each side of the flue, and they put magnets on the other sides of it. And when the flame goes by these electrodes, it's the same thing. See, a flame conducts electricity. Do you know that? Well, it is. It's called plasma. And the flame conducts electricity, and so through these electrodes, electricity flows because it's a current. It's a current carrier, a wire going through a magnet. And when you put a wire through a magnet, you've got a generator. And so they've got the stack becomes a generator, and they pull electricity right out the side of the stack without any kind of a generator going or anything like that. It's the most amazing thing, and it works. And they just get electricity directly out of the flame. And so that eliminates all the steam and all the turbines and all the other things. Yeah, everything. It's just pure. It's just coal, flame, electricity. And lots of smoke. And, of course, that's one of the big things. One of the things they're working on, how to get rid of the smoke. It's what they call seeded with potassium. And the other thing I saw that just really, I mean, my mind is still swirling. They're working on a system right now with this plasma arc, what they call the pinch, the thermal pinch. And by striking a plasma, which is nothing but we'll call a carbon arc or a welder's arc, but it's a whole lot different, but it's close enough for now. And then they actually, around the arc, put a magnet. But they put the magnet, the Sussus, the tremendously strong magnet, that they've only been able to get the magnetic flux up for 1 second. They've only been able to make it that long. And what happens is that the electricity going through this magnetic field is pinched. And it gets, the arc gets smaller. Now, if you got the same electricity going through a smaller area, it's hotter. And using the idea of a pinch effect, they create 8 million degrees, which is 10 times the surface of the sun, and it's held by magnetic lines instead of steel or ceramics. It's held in there by a magnet. Now, see, steel or ceramics would all just disintegrate at those temperatures, but a magnet doesn't even know it. And so they've made a vessel whose walls are nothing but a magnet. Then they introduce water, just a little bit of water vapor, and the water, instead of what we call fission, goes through fusion, and it becomes a minute hydrogen bomb. And right in the laboratory, they're actually burning water or turning water into helium by getting it so hot that when it bangs together, it fuses instead of flies apart, it comes together. And they're actually burning water in the laboratory now and creating tremendous amounts of energy from pure seawater. By the year 2000, they will be actually taking water and turning it into helium. And when they take this water and turn it into helium, it gives off tremendous energy. And then they can run all the steam turbines and all the other things they want, you know, just by cause of water around it. Yeah, we have no materials. That's why they use a magnet to hold it in. The flame is held by a magnet instead of materials. Isn't that something? Well, anyway, what I'm trying to say is we're in a wonderful world. Who would have ever thought we'd be burning water? You know, when I was in the Navy, they taught us to use water on the fire. And now they got a fire so hot that the fire sets the water on fire. How about that? Isn't that something? We are really in an age. Well, it's brand new. It's just, you know, it's right on the threshold of scientific things right now. But this is not a chemical reaction, though. This is an atomic reaction. Oxygen and hydrogen is a chemical reaction. I'm talking about a hydrogen bomb. talking about minute hydrogen bomb. It's a little different, but anyway, it makes a lot of heat. And that's hot, man. What I'm trying to get at is, I'm not trying to give a physics lesson here. What I'm trying to do is tell you that we live in a marvelous age. Can you imagine how it's going to be? Well, pretty soon, they'll be able to make the electricity with just the water, and that means there'll be no more fuel, what do they call these fuel add-ons? Fuel surcharges? You know, fuel adjustments and all that kind of stuff, and energy. And really, if you're wanting to know how to heat your house, then electric heat in the year 2000, that's all there will be because, electricity from the sea. It's just that simple. We're burning the water and just all the energy we need. Plug your car in at night. I wouldn't believe it, but there it was. I saw it. Saw it with my own eyes. That's what they're doing. They've actually had a sustained reaction for 1 second. Well, the first engine didn't run very long either. it's pretty good. Pretty good. They've had a sustained laboratory hydrogen bomb for 1 second. But you understand it wasn't a big bomb. It was the kind that wouldn't blow the whole laboratory up. It's just they don't allow anybody in the laboratory. Back to the Bible. Away from Flash Gordon. Where was I? Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. He that receives seed in the stony places, the same that heareth the Logos, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the Logos, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the Logos. And the cares of this dispensation and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the Logos and understandeth it. What did I just emphasize? Understanding. Also bringing forth fruit and bringing forth some hundredfold, 1630. So we went to church. When we went to church, we left the church. We got in the car. We turned to our husband and wife and said, what did he say? How many ever been there? Completely unfruitful. No understanding. It was snatched away. How many have had that experience? Raise your hands. Lord, forgive the others who didn't raise their hands. Yeah, we've had it. Then the next group. Have you ever left the church, got in the car, talked to your wife or husband a little bit about it? By the time you got home, you're on something else, and that was the end of it, and you never paid another bit of attention. How many have had that experience? Okay, now we know that group. How many got in the car, talked about it, got home, even sat around the breakfast table next morning, talked about it a little bit longer, but pretty soon the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world came in, choked out the word, and by the time next week rolled around, you forgot what that was all about, too. Let's see your hands on that one. How many of you have been to the church when the word was preached? You had the understanding. It's got deep. It was well-rooted. It had some preparation. The field was plowed, cultivated. Disked and gotten all ready. Now the seed is planted, and all of a sudden it starts to work. And it sticks with you. And it brings forth fruit. 30, 1600 fold. How many have had that too? Now we know what he's talking about. Because it all depended not on the delivery, not on the preacher, not even, hold on the anointing of the word. It depended on whether we had ears to and eyes to, because it depended on how prepared we were. Whether it was right, whether we could receive the seed or not. Am I saying anything to anybody? So I said to Jesus, why is it, Lord, When I teach the Bible, I use every technique known. I don't save a dime. If there's an overhead projector that's out on the market that's better than the one I got, I make sure that every technique that I have is perfect, the very best thing there is for every group. You know that? That thing there is $300. Everything we have, these slides and all that kind of stuff, every one of them 60 cents just for the, you know, the original material and all that kind of stuff. I don't try to pinch and save on this. I use every technique. When I was working for IBM, IBM sent me to New York University, to Purdue University and to the University of Chicago that I might learn how to teach, because I was teaching people the basic principles of electronics. There they had a class of about 40 engineers, mechanical engineers, and I was teaching them electronics. And they were paying those engineers while I was teaching. And do you know what? They wanted me to do a good job. Because back then, every hour that I taught cost IBM several thousand dollars for every hour. You understand? So they taught me how to teach. And all those years ago, all that experience from years ago has been accumulated to use up on you. And I'm using that experience. So I turned to Jesus and I said, Jesus, how come I'm using the very best teaching techniques, everything that's known in the natural realm, and still they don't get it? I pray. I prepare. I use techniques. And they don't get it. And Jesus said, what makes you think you're any better than I was? Jesus has a way of taking the wind out of our sails. Kingdom of expansion. So I was in the kingdom of contraction. And he put me through the squeeze. And he said, what makes you think that you're any better than I was? I told you when I taught, the seed is the word. And when the word goes out, it falls on four kinds of ground. And as that word goes out, it falls on these four kinds of ground, and the sower can't control. I can do everything else. I can work. I can have my white background and the materials all prepared, have it printed. See, every technique that we know, but that's all I can do. I can even pray the Holy Ghost, but that's no guarantee, because it takes, well, sometimes just the right attitude, or maybe the deceitfulness of riches or the cares of this world, or some worry that the kids have done and the spilt milk. Is that all right? How many have ever thought more about the spilt milk than the sermon? Raise your hands, please. Lord, forgive the others didn't raise their hands. And there's just nothing we can do about it. And Jesus told me there's nothing you can do about it. I said, well, what will I do? He says, go back and get him again. Give it to him again. Because maybe next week, things will be changed. And hit him again. Now, in this realm, let me finish this thought. In this realm, how many have noticed that I have taught the same lesson over and over and over and over and over and over again? Huh? Didn't use the same place in the Bible, but I'm teaching the same thing time after time after time. And what I'm trying to tell you is, if you're going to grow up, become a Helios and have the kingdom of heaven in your heart. After all, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's only one way you're going to do it in these last days, and that's to be led of the Spirit, not by the commandments and traditions of man. The laws, touch not, taste not, handle not, they're all going to perish for the using.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.